Hey, before we get started, I just want to let you know that we do have a broadcast version of this podcast. So when we're showing clips and things of that nature, it may be hard to see the point of illustration without actually watching the clip. So if you'd like to check out the broadcast version of this podcast, please head to youtube.com/WeTheExiles. Enjoy the show.
What is truth? Is there an absolute right and wrong? This and more on the We The Exiles podcast.
We will not build the church according to the changing whims of an ungodly culture. We will change that ungodly culture by the power of the immutable gospel.
Welcome to the We The Exiles podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Wood, along with my co-host and brother, Chandler Wood.
Hey, hey.
We appreciate you joining us today. In this podcast, we examine Christian culture in the light of Scripture. We believe in the sufficiency of Scripture, and our goal is to help others be bold and stand firm in a world that is increasingly anti-Christ.
And with that, we pray, Jesus Christ may be glorified and give us wisdom to speak clearly and boldly about your unchanging truth.
Well, we hope everyone has been having a great week. It's been a pretty quick week for us, already through the middle of the week. So we hope you guys are having a great week. I thought today we would start off this podcast going over something that we discussed a month ago or so, in regards to our goals with this podcast. We want to be very clear about what we want to do and where we feel God is leading us with We The Exiles. And we put together a chart that we will have available on our website that goes over and explains the different areas of things we're trying to achieve with We The Exiles. It's a one-year goal. We've explained this before in a podcast episode. But it is a one-year goal. We started that year clock on August 1st of this year. And so here's a few things. You should see this on the screen if you're watching the broadcast version of the podcast. But the first thing you'll see on the left-hand side is we want to release a 6-song album of redone hymns. What those hymns are, we don't know yet, but within a year's time, we hope to work on that. We've done redone hymns before with Seeker and Servant. If you've heard any of those, it will be in the similar vein of that. We've talked about maybe looking at some hymns that were prominent during the original Reformation, looking at maybe some maybe unwell-known hymns as well. So we want to release a 6-song album of redone hymns. We want to release a four issues, magazine issues called The Sojourner. We've explained this also in detail in that podcast. But every quarter, starting in the last quarter of this year, which will be for us October to the end of the year, every quarter we're going to release one magazine issue of our magazine that we're going to work and release for Patreon supporters called The Sojourner. And in this, we've estimated about 20 pages. It's going to have, we're hoping to do like just a interview that will only be released through that you can read. Maybe a short Bible study that we work up that you can do and participate in. Different things like that. So if you're a Patreon supporter, you'll get those issues once a quarter. We're going to work on 2 short documentaries. We've explained these as being kind of in line with what we're doing with We The Exiles. And so we want to focus on people's lives, particularly people who are living out what being an exile or Christian in a day-to-day life looks like.
Yeah.
So this can be people who started organizations or have done something or are in the midst of doing something pretty tremendous for the kingdom. And we want to do short docs, about 30 minutes or less, release 2 of those every year, so 1 every 6 months would be our goal through We The Exiles. We want to reach $500 a month. We're on the right-hand side of the chart now. $500 a month on Patreon. So this is the monthly support system that we're trying to get to. That's our goal. Again, we've always talked about this, but Patreon is what is allowing us to do these things, work on this album, this magazine, this documentary. Pretty much all the goals that we have are going to be possible because of the funding through Patreon.
Yeah.
We want to reach 500 active podcast listeners. So that's every episode we release, 500 active listeners.
Yeah, I think we're at around 100 right now.
Yeah, it's a little more because we're now factoring in broadcasts.
Yeah.
And so I've done the math. It's about 130 active, somewhere around there. And then we're going to try to reach 5,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel. Do you know where we're at?
I think we're at 4,200 something.
Okay.
So
we wanted to set like goals that were not just outrageous, obviously yeah. achievable goals.
Or realistic.
And these goals aren't just goals for our gain. These are also like some of the vision that we have for yeah. We the Exiles. And these are things that we want to do on the regular. We don't want this just to be a podcast driven organization. If you've been following We the Exiles for a while, you know that we have a heart to do a lot of things with We the Exiles. And those are just our first year goal. The first year goal is for.
And we're trying to do everything with We the Exiles solely on the support that we're receiving. And so that's why it's important for people that are interested in what we're wanting to put out to consider supporting the show, because right now we're able to do the podcast, the broadcast, and you know, the mug talk and some additional things, but we definitely need the support to do these documentary films, and also especially with the music, we would love to get started and try to make something really good with that, but you know, your support will help us in doing so. So would encourage you to support us at patreon.com/WeTheExiles, $10 a month, and you'll get a lot of goodies with that, but also you'll be in the loop with all the content that we're going to put out.
And all of these goals, like if we do get to the point where we can release the 6-song album with the support that we've received through Patreon, Patreon listeners and supporters get this material first.
Yeah.
Same thing with the documentaries. Everything that we're creating, you will have the first, you'll be the ones to be able to gain access to and have first viewership of those things we're creating. And you get all along with that mug talk and the Sojourner magazine that we're working on to release once a quarter.
Yeah. I think it's good to, have a vision, you know, laid out. And so that's why we made this chart for you guys to see, to know that we, you know, we have a direction. So hopefully that will help, if you were considering supporting us, to see that we're actually making, you know, moves towards getting these goals.
Right. So you can access this chart anytime through our website. We'll probably go ahead. We'll put it on Patreon too, I think.
Yeah,
we should. So people can see as well. But yeah, that's it. That's our 1-year goal. And we're going to be praying that hopefully that through God's will, this would be the case. So again, if you're interested in supporting, please check out patreon.com/WeTheExiles. And for those of you who do support, we appreciate you guys so much. Thank you for your continued support.
Also, want to mention this. This would only pertain to the people that will watch or listen to this when it releases, because they'll have about a week frame time. But we are having a giveaway. We do have a giveaway going on right now on our Instagram, Facebook page. We're giving away a Charles Spurgeon study Bible, a really nice leather journal, and some coffee and a glass mug from Messenger Coffee Co. So if you want to have a chance at winning that, head on over to our Instagram or Facebook page. You'll see the post there, and it'll tell you how you can
enter the giveaway.
Win that.
Right. Sure, and we're going to announce that Wednesday.
25th.
The 25th, right.
So you have a little time, but wanted to mention that. So if you catch this in time, head on over and make that happen.
All right, well, again, we appreciate you guys joining us, and we will be back after this short break. Where did you get that mug?
This thing? I thought you'd never ask. I got this sweet mug becoming a supporter of the We the Exiles podcast over at patreon.com. Becoming a supporter is easy. For only $10 a month, you can support the ministry of We the Exiles.
Only $10?
That's right. Not only do I feel satisfied drinking out of this amazing mug, it brings me great joy knowing that I'm supporting a Christ-exalting ministry. So head on over to patreon.com, that's patreon.com/WeTheExiles, and become an exile today.
Order up!
The main dish!
Truth is being attacked on a regular basis in our culture today. The question, what is truth, comes up more times than not. People are more confused than ever on actual reality and truth. We live in a postmodern thinking world, and this is not good. For various reasons. One, we know as Christians that there is an absolute truth. The truth that we know and hold to comes from God Himself through His Word. And when truth is being confused, or when absolute truth is being denied instead for relative truth based on your own feelings or what you think is right or wrong, then you have the degradation of the entire culture itself. This is what we see at an alarming and increasing rate every day in our society. I want to read this article. This comes from summit.org. And this article is, you should see it. It's What Does Postmodern Mean? I'm going to read this article. It kind of explains and defines postmodern thought, and also kind of resituates where we should be as Christians and how where we should be when it comes to the matter of truth and how we should be thinking about truth. You should see this here. This article, by the way, was released on October 24th, 2006. So a lot of the things being relayed in this article, you should definitely be seeing by now in the culture. This is nothing.
That's crazy because 2006, I had no clue what postmodern was.
I was a freshman in high school.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't know what postmodern thought was either. This is important to define. So we live in a, starting here in this article with me, we live in a postmodern world, or so we're told. But what does this mean? On one level, postmodern is a word used to describe major changes in the underlying ways people think, especially the way people view truth and reality. Postmodern is a term of contrast, which implies modern. But before modern, there was pre-modern. To understand postmodern, it helps to consider the main differences in the way each of the three moderns, pre, you know, modern, and then postmodern, relate to truth and reality. Pre-modern era was one in which religion was the source of truth and reality. God's existence and revelation were givens in the culture. In the modern era, science became the source for truth and reality. During this period, religion and morality were arbitrarily demoted to the subjective realm. In the present postmodern era, there's no single defining source for truth and reality beyond the individual. Postmodernism simply radicalized relativism and individualism and then applied them to all spheres of knowledge, even science. In a postmodern world, truth and reality are understood to be individually shaped by personal history, social class, gender, culture, and religion. These factors, we are told, combine to shape the narrative and meanings of our lives. In this sense, they are culturally embedded, localized social constructions without any universal application. Postmoderns are suspicious of people who make universal truth claims. Such claims of universal meaning are viewed as imperialistic, efforts to marginalize and oppress the rights of others. The most important value of postmodernity is the inadmissibility of all totalizing views of viewing any dimension of life. Postmodernity as a worldview refuses to allow any single defining source for truth and reality. The new emphasis is on difference, plurality, and selective forms of tolerance. Postmodern thinking is full of absurdities and inconsistencies. It is, for example, the worldview that says no worldview exists. It is an anti-theory that uses theoretical tools to neutralize all theories. It demands an imposed uniformity in an effort to resist uniformity. It employs propositional statements to negate truth based on propositional statements. During the 1960s and 70s, prevailing attitudes against authority, institutions, and establishment produced overwhelmingly negative effects on our nation. It was during the same period that we experienced a massive societal shift away from the institution of marriage and family. This involved alarming increases in divorce rates and the widespread acceptance of cohabitation. Anyone who denies these devastating consequences is not living in reality. As a result of these changes, pastors, counselors, psychologists, psychiatrists, and therapists are stretched to the limit as they try to help overwhelming numbers of people pick up the broken pieces of their lives and become whole again. Yet many of these helpers are equally lost because they accept the postmodern lie. What is the lie? Well, it is the wholesale rejection of universal reason and absolute truth. It is the delusional mindset that there is no objective goodness and rightness. These prevailing opinions have led to the dismissal of an absolute deity. Don't misunderstand. God is warmly welcomed in a postmodern world as long as he doesn't try to play God. As one has written, postmodernity returns value to faith and affirms the nurturing of our spiritual being as vital to humankind, unfortunately with a loss of truth. People will now seek faith without boundaries, categories, or definition. The old parameters of belief do not exist. As a result, people will be increasingly open to knowing God, but on their own terms. That was Graham Johnson who quoted that, or said that. Yet the true and living God will not be defined by finite creatures. While postmodern guru philosophers like Richard Rorty have tried to write the obituary of the God's eye view of the world, the creator of the universe still determines the standard of truth, goodness, and beauty. Don't be misled, Scripture warns. Remember that you can't ignore God and get away with it. You will always reap what you sow, Galatians 6:7. If you are lost in the postmodern world, the God who revealed himself through Jesus Christ is your only way to see. He is the Savior who can forgive your sins and the shepherd who can lead you out of confusion and despair of postmodernity. And this was written by Steve Cornell. He's the founding and senior pastor of Millersville Bible Church in Millersville, Pennsylvania.
So are you telling me that you actually are a Power Ranger?
I am.
You're wearing the hat?
Yeah, I am. I forgot I was wearing this hat.
So this is typically what we see is you can be anything you want to be. You can say you're whatever, and no one can say anything against it. And that's what the society has come to, because there's nothing absolute in most people's mindset.
Right.
You see this a lot on college campuses.
Yeah, particularly a lot on college campuses today. Yeah, truth is... When truth is taking out of an absolute, when it's taking out of being 100% what it should be and what we know it to be and what it's defined to us by God himself and his word, and it's taking to be objective, relative, based on your feelings, emotions, your ideas of how you see the world, then reality gets turned on its head.
Yeah, and when that starts invading, which it has, the church, then, you know, who's to say we have to hold wholeheartedly to the inerrancy of Scripture or all that it says, or, you start letting other religious ideologies in.
Right. Absolute truth also is oppressive.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It oppresses the right of others, as he was saying in there, which is why people have moved away from absolute truth, because when you define absolute truth according to God's word, guess what? It's bound to step on some toes. Mm-hmm. And people just today are just little snowflakes. They don't want their toes stepped on.
Yeah. And it's really sad to see, like I said, just like in our universities, and they're being taught this, you know. Majority of universities are teaching this philosophy, this mindset, And it is really damaging. And more so where we're coming from it is the danger it poses to Christians, you know, and when we're starting to see a lot of younger Christians start to be indoctrinated by this philosophy, it's really damaging.
When we were looking at, which we're probably going to get into in a future episode, but we were looking at some Pew Research statistics. I encourage you to go look at some of the statistics on their website pertaining to every matter of life. To see the shift of kind of what he's relating to there, the pre-modern era, right? And you can actually look and see the percentage and the shifts of percentages of people who held to the Bible, went to church regularly, all these things, like the decline of marriage, all this. They play a role with also how society has shifted with their view of truth as well. He talks about, you know, particularly the 1960s and 70s, we have the sexual revolution, we have the rise of feminism. All these things led to, well, one, the degradation of marriage and family to begin with, and just our society as a whole moving away from absolute truth.
Well, you can see when you take on that, everything else starts to collapse because where is your foundation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if nothing is right or wrong, and you get to say, and I thought that was, I mean, that's true what he was saying. Like most postmodern world view is that, well, we're fine with God as long as he's
not God.
So it's basically like, well, you know, God's cool, but
God's fine as long as he allows me to be, do whatever I like.
Yeah. As long as he doesn't impose on me, you know,
any standard whatsoever, right. His standard pretty much. I mean, and this was written in 2006. Like we talked about, there has been a tremendous shift in our culture since then. In a lot of these things are what's happening every day. Just pull up YouTube, watch any news media site, flip on your television, watch movies, music. Everything has shifted to this way of thinking. And along with it has gone out the window the idea of actual truth. And this is a problem because morals for example, right and wrong, they come from truth. They come from an absolute truth. If you start tearing down absolute truth, then that's where you start also to get the misconceptions and wrong ideas about identity. For instance, the ideas with gender confusion that we have in our mm-hmm. society. The very thought process of where we're at with the way we think about sexuality, you keep down that road and you're going to get to eventually where pedophilia is okay. You're going to get to all these things. And all of this is a breaking down of truth, a moving away from absolute truth. I mean, who's to say that eventually the idea and question of murder is wrong? Well, if there's no absolute truth, if murder isn't wrong for everybody, if not all life is considered valuable and held to a valuable standard, then who's to say down the road that, well, I felt like murdering this guy was right for me?
Yeah.
There has to be an absolute truth. And where does absolute truth come from? Not from us, because we see left to ourselves making our truth, we do a whole lot of damage.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from God. Think about it. Well, God himself says that his law is written on our hearts, that moral law is written on our hearts. But think about this. We've talked about this before, but when you're a child and you're 3-4 years old and you take a piece of candy or you take something from somewhere that you shouldn't. I've had this experience even as a child for myself. You know that that's wrong.
Yeah.
Without ever being told that it's wrong. You know why? Because there's absolute right and wrong.
Yeah.
You don't have to be taught particularly. People know that murder is wrong. People mm-hmm. know that stealing is wrong. People go against God and God's truth all the time because we're sinful human beings.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that there's not a right and wrong. There's not an absolute truth. Play this clip from Alistair Begg. Him kind of explaining this same idea of postmodern thinking. He relates it to relativism, which is the same thing, relative truth. Your truth is based on your experience, your social economic status, gender, race, all those things.
I worry that reality itself is fading like the Cheshire Cat, leaving behind only a smile that grows ever more alarming. Now, I haven't ferreted around for these things. These are just materials that I've picked up through my reading and have them in my files. And I was intrigued, as I think about it now, and many of you will have been, to see that one of Gauguin's paintings, the post-impressionist painter, sold for some $300 million, I think was on the 9th of this month. And Gauguin was celebrated for all kinds of reasons, but he himself was a disaster. On his most famous painting, he wrote three questions up in the left-hand corner. D'où venons-nous? Qui sommes-nous? Où allons-nous? Where did it come from? What am I? Where am I going? And at the very foundational level of our Western society, these questions ring in the lyrics of contemporary songs, in the literature of our day, and certainly in the movies that will be featured in the Oscars on Sunday evening. Well, we can say that we actually do know what is going on. And that's because the Bible tells us. We could say with the prophet Isaiah, truth has stumbled in the public square, or in the Authorized Version, has fallen in the street. With Jeremiah, falsehood and not truth has grown strong in the land. And so the prevailing and the oppressive assumption of today is that there is actually no such thing as truth or any real sense of right and wrong, at least in the sense that we can attest to it all of the time, everywhere, and for everyone, i.e. as an absolute. And all of us have grown up with people telling us that the only absolute is that there are no absolutes. And this relativism should be understood biblically. It's not something that has just come out of nowhere. And behind the relativism and all that is represented in it is what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, where he writes, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God." And the relativism and postmodernism that is represented in the philosophies and experiences of our day should be understood in that way. This is an argument, this is a lofty opinion, and this is raised against the knowledge of God. It is, if you like, a cosmic issue. We're dealing with a present darkness, with the spiritual forces of evil which exist in the heavenly places. And behind these spiritual forces, the devil, of whom Jesus said, he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. He has been a murderer, he says from the beginning, and a liar, and he is the father of all who propound lies.
So that is exactly what the devil wants. The greatest way to move away, to get people to move away from God at all, is to question everything,
yeah,
right? To become God in your own eyes, to believe the lie that there is no such thing as absolute truth.
Yeah.
It is the day and age we live in. And continue down that path that we're on is only to increase the mass amount of confusion that will ensue in the coming years in our society. Why is there so much division, you wonder? Because majority of our society hates God.
Mm-hmm.
Majority of our society doesn't know right or wrong. There is no absolute right or wrong for them.
Yeah. And a lot of Christians have a hard time saying, you know, where they stand on things because this has become so prominent. We're afraid of the offense to others mm-hmm. by standing on what we know to be truth.
Right. That can be tied to our whole episode on boldness.
Yeah, it's important. It's important for us to really understand this, understand postmodern thought, and understand that it's growing rapidly around us because it affects, you know, the way that we evangelize. It affects the way that we view other religions outside of the true Christianity.
It's affecting our political realm too. I mean, debates today are a joke because everybody is trying to input their own truth.
Mm-hmm.
There is no really right or wrong line in debates today. So debates are just a bunch of he said, she said, hoopla.
Mm-hmm.
There is no defining thing. You watch it and it's like a bunch of children trying to define something that they think is right or wrong. And they have nowhere to stand. There is a foundation. If we lose our foundation, then the whole building crumbles. Well, our foundation as a society, our foundations as Christians has to start and end with God's word. That's where we get truth. That's where we get our understanding.
Yeah. And we've talked about this too before. And it's funny because he mentioned that piece of art selling for $300 million, which is crazy. That a piece of art could sell for that much. But we've talked about this too out and about. We'll go into our local coffee shops in Jackson or, you know, traveling. We'll see, you'll see art displayed for sale at different places and stuff. And some of this acclaimed art is literally nothing at all, but just like little paint strokes here and there, and that's defined as art. And you know,
oh yeah,
I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not gonna get into the depths of that. I mean, if someone really considers that art, then so be it. But we've gotten away from even that because you know, there was a time where if you were an artist, like the art that you created.
It was universally recognized as good art.
Yeah, if anyone up,
you don't have to look at a Van Gogh, a Monet, to know that those paintings are good.
Yeah, if you went up to it, you would undoubtedly say, "Wow, that was good." Even if it wasn't your taste, you could still recognize it to be
as a good art.
Be so. Same way with music yep. and movies. It's right. It's now become well. You can just make really.
That's why everybody's become a critic too, because everybody has their own. There isn't a good and a bad, right?
Yeah,
it's just whatever you want it to be, which in return creates terrible things anyway. Because you'll see this in a shift, but movies have gotten more increasingly filthy. Because we're moving away from truth. Mm-hmm. We're moving away from right
and
wrong.
Well, and people will say that all the time, like pertaining to art is, you know, it's just however you feel. You know, just do it how you feel. And, you know, whatever you feel is good, then it's good. And, I'm not denoting the fact that, you know, painting or something can be relaxing. It could be, you know, but at the end of the day, there's still good.
Well, there's
still good art.
There's value.
Yeah.
For instance, that painting didn't sell for $300 million just because someone thought it was good. No, that painting was valued at that because it is a universal known painting as being excellent.
Mm-hmm.
It can have that value. It's like Casey and I, when we traveled recently, we went to this bakery. They had some paintings in there. It was literally like a small canvas with like gray paint. The whole thing was painted like grayish. And there were torn pieces of construction paper. They were just like glued on top of the in random areas. And it was selling for $600.
Yeah, it's like.
But we've gotten to that point because we've lost reality. Yeah. We've lost what's actually good.
And so that is very relatable in a sense, because we as Christians should strive for excellence. You know, we should strive for perfection in the sense that we're striving towards holiness. No, we're not going to be perfect. No, only through Christ's righteousness are we made righteous. But still, that is our goal. And so in the realm of music, arts, all that has become postmodern, because whatever's good for you is good, you know, whatever.
Whatever's good for you is good.
We've lost striving for excellence.
Well,
because
in Christianity, though, that is the one place where, well, there is no debate. Real Christianity, true Christians, obviously are going to side with absolute truth. The same argument for what Christ himself, there's no lukewarmness, right? There is a right or wrong side. You are either this or you're not.
Yeah.
There isn't a middle ground anywhere. And if you are caught in the middle ground, guess what? Christ will spit you out of his mouth.
Yeah.
There is no middle ground. There is either right and there is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That is what it is.
And it's clearly defined in Scripture.
Right.
The law of God is clearly defined in Scripture. And the commandments that are given are clearly defined in Scripture. How we should live as Christians is clearly defined in Scripture. But what we have, sadly, is a lot of people not adhering to that, because at the end of the day, it's our fleshly desire to do what we want,
mm-hmm.
and live that out. But at the same time, we want to tag Christ along right. to it, because that's a nice touch.
Right. Well, popular Christianity, majority Christian culture, is beginning to, or has been for a while, borrowing postmodern thought anyway. Because when a popularity contest is your main driving force with your church, then you have to borrow cultural ideas and culture's idea on truth and stuff if you want to continue to get people in the doors, if you want to continue to be the big, great mega churches. For the most part, you have to begin to waver, which is what you see. I mean, think about Michael Gunger.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about him. If you're familiar with him, Ben Gunger, they had a record that was very popular on Christian radio. Michael Gunger himself has written a lot of Christian music that you've heard that you're probably unaware of. And a few years ago began breaking down what they thought as a literal Genesis, right? Literal God's creation, questioning all of that, and more philosophical thought than anything. Moved away from truth, right? You saw that with him. That was a big controversial thing. We've seen this with Dustin Kendrew and his idea on, well, Scripture. We've seen this lately with Joshua Harris and the Marty Sampson stuff. This is all a result of moving away from absolute truth.
Yeah.
Because for them, it's more about accepting people in what they view as loving, because even the definition of love has been skewed, and it does get skewed when we move away from absolute truth.
Well, you fear man more than you fear God. And we've said that, we've said this before, but I like to use this, is people want a savior, but they don't want a Lord.
Mm-mm.
But Christ is not just our savior. He is Lord.
Yeah, people love to want to be saved. People love that idea, but they don't want to submit their whole life to Christ.
Is Lord, which he is, Christ is Lord of all, what he says goes.
Mm-hmm. He is the way, truth, and life. And no one comes to the Father but through him.
Yeah.
Doesn't get more simplistic than that. Well, when truth is broken down, when it becomes relative and it's based on it, like we said, this is when confusion ensues. This is a good clip. This comes from Family Policy Institute of Washington. This is him, this guy kind of asking these different questions pretty much that have stemmed from postmodern thinking. Listen to this.
It's told you that I was a woman, what would your response be?
Good for you. Okay. Like, yeah.
Nice to meet you.
I'd be like, what? Really?
I don't have a problem with it.
I'd ask you how you came to that conclusion.
If I told you that I was Chinese, what would your response be?
I mean, I might be a little surprised, but I'd say, good for you. Like, yeah, be who you are.
I would maybe think you had some Chinese ancestor.
I would ask you how you similarly came to that conclusion and why you came to that conclusion.
I would have a lot of questions just because on the outside I would assume that you're a white man.
If I told you that I was 7 years old, what would your response be?
I wouldn't believe that immediately.
I probably wouldn't believe it, but I mean, it wouldn't really bother me that much to go out of my way and tell you, no, you're wrong. I'd just be like, oh, okay, he wants to say he's 7 years old.
If you feel seven at heart, then then so be it. Yeah, good for you.
So if I wanted to enroll in a first grade class, do you think I should be allowed to?
Probably not, I guess. I mean, unless you haven't completed first grade up to this point and for some reason need to do that now.
If that's where you feel like mentally you should be, then I feel like there are communities that would accept you for that.
I would say so long as you're not hindering society and you're not causing harm to other people, I feel like that should be a okay thing.
If I told you I'm 6 feet, 5 inches, what would you say?
That I would question.
Why?
Because you're not. No, I don't think you're 6'5".
If you truly believed you're 6'5", I don't think it's harmful. I think it's fine if you believe that. It doesn't matter to me if you think you're taller than you are.
So you'd be willing to tell me I'm wrong?
I wouldn't tell you you're wrong.
No, but I say that I don't think that you are.
I feel like that's not my place as like another human to say someone is wrong or to draw lines or boundaries.
No, I mean, I wouldn't just go like, oh, you're wrong. Like, that's wrong to believe in it. Because, I mean, again, it doesn't really bother me what you want to think about your height or anything.
So I can be a Chinese woman.
You. Sure.
But I can't be a 6'5" Chinese woman.
Yes.
If you thoroughly debated me or explained why you felt that you were 6'5", I feel like I would be very open to saying that you are 6'5", or Chinese, or a woman.
Yeah, and that's just one clip. There's many, many clips on.
Let me put this internet. In there. This kind of reminds me of this. Recently, went on a trip with my family. We all did, but Casey, myself, and my two older children, we went to Silver Dollar City in Branson theme park. When you go to theme parks and you go to a ride, what do you see? Usually right before you get on, you see
the
height markers,
the height
right?
Marker, yeah.
That's not just there. It's there for a purpose. Because if you are not a certain height and they put you inside of that cart and they let you go, there's a high percent chance that you are going to get injured because you're not yet big enough to fit into that seat. There is an absolute standard there that if you don't follow, what happens?
Yeah, you're probably going to get hurt.
Well, Chandler, I feel like I'm that high. So shouldn't they let me get into that seat?
Yeah.
But yet they won't, because at the very foundational level, for the most part, society still operates by an absolute standard.
Yeah. So if you follow that trail of thinking, where does it lead you to? It leads you to just this place of where...
false reality.
Yeah, I mean, you just do whatever you want, say whatever you want, and then at the moment that someone or authority comes against that, then you are incredibly offended and you start... then you start protesting, you start just... going crazy. Well, and now, because of the way the world is, now you have a ton of people that will come alongside you and say, yeah, this guy, he thinks he is actually a girl. Who are you to say that he's not?
Well, Chandler, because we're Christians and we're supposed to be loving, shouldn't we just be accepting if a man wants to be a woman? Shouldn't we be accepting if a you know, a pedophile, 40-year-old man wants to be with a 15-year-old girl.
Well,
I mean, if you follow that train of thought, that's where you got to get to.
I mean, we should be loving, but we don't have to be accepting.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Acceptance has taken the place of love.
Yeah.
We've talked about this. We've explained it. There are two different definitions.
Love is telling the truth.
Yeah.
Obviously, doing it in a nice
but
way.
But,
there's no nice way to the world because...
truth is offensive.
Even out of all the times that we have tried to be nice in presenting truth, there's always backlash of people saying, you're being unloving, when we did it in the most loving way. But the love... If we are Christians, love is telling people the truth, and the truth is that Christ is King, Christ is Lord, Christ is Savior, and only through Christ can you have redemption and salvation.
Right.
And in Christ, all this stuff is fixed, and everything is under how it should be.
Right, we'll go back to his article he ended. He said, if you're lost in the postmodern world, thought the God who revealed himself through Jesus Christ is your only way out. He is the Savior who can forgive your sins and the shepherd who can lead you out of the confusion and despair of modernity. See, if you're saved by Christ and you're rescued from the confusion of this world, the just complete disarray of truth, and he saves you, well, there's a change that happens, and part of that change is beginning to see actual truth. That's why, if you really are a Christian, you're not going to argue against God's word. There's no reason to.
Yeah.
It's just foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
And postmodern thought has invaded the church in a lot of ways. It may have been in your church subtle, but if we don't take up arms...
Mm-hmm.
Against, I'm not talking about weapons, I'm talking about this sword, and get back to that, then we're going to lose all reality in our churches, and there's not going to be any absolute truth left in the way that we think. And our churches are going to suffer because of that.
Yeah.
We see this in... With people that, go against the sufficiency of Scripture, the reason people go against any of that to begin with, if they were quote-unquote in Christian faith or not, is because they found something in Scripture that offended them.
Yeah,
and
that they did not want to align their lives to.
Right, and instead of submitting themselves to God, to His Word, they said, well, that can't be right.
Yeah.
Because I'm offended. I feel like it should be different. You'll notice in that clip, too, the language. Think about the language. That's what I want you to think about. It's that language. Well, I feel like if you want to be 6'5", I feel like if you want to be a woman,
such a hard time saying that you're wrong. You know, it's like when they get to that point, they might be struggling in their mind with the concept, but then he asked the question, are you saying I'm wrong? They're like, it's hard to say.
If we follow this thought, this train of thinking, we're going to get to places where if we even now were questioning some of this, we would think it's absurd. But even take this, 2 + 2 is what?
4.
Why?
It's just how it is mathematically. I mean, that's...
Well, could it be 8?
No, it cannot, Cameron.
We look at that and say, well, that's an absurd argument, but it's not.
Yeah.
Because if we continue down the track of no absolute truth, then it's not going to matter. Well, little Johnny got an F on his test when Anna got an A, but what makes Johnny's answers wrong?
Yeah.
Hers right.
It's what he thought.
Exactly. So all this to be said, we need to – all of this, again, is just a call to hold fast to God's word.
Yeah.
To be faithful to what he says is right and wrong. And if you are a Christian, you have no other obligation. There is no lukewarm Christianity. You are either fully in or you're out.
Yeah, and you know, things that the scripture does bring to our attention where we do see where we're wrong in things, that doesn't mean that it won't be a struggle. I mean, there are obviously things that we have had to struggle with in our lives, and a lot of times we've lived in ways in which we were running from the truth of God. By God's faithfulness, He's drawn us back and continually placed in us that hope of that scripture and truth, the word of God, is truth. But we have to be struggling with that. We can't give way.
Right, right.
We can't give way to this idea that, well, this comes against what I want. Well, no, I can't.
Yeah, you're not going to read the Bible fully all the way through and just come away with it. Wow, that makes perfect sense. I agree with everything. We're sinful human beings. That's not the case. But if we are Christians, we are to be conforming ourselves to God,
mm-hmm.
to what He says is right and wrong, not the other way around. Not the other way around.
Yeah.
Chandler, how do I stay connected to all things We the Exiles?
Super easy. Remember this, at We the Exiles. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter using that handle, at We the Exiles. Also, don't forget to check out our website at www.wetheexiles.com.
To find all the additional resources used on We the Exiles, head on over to www.wetheexiles.com and click on the Resources tab. www.wetheexiles.com and click on the Resources tab.
Did anyone leave room?
Oh, maybe a little bit of pudding.
It's time for dessert.
You love your pudding.
All right, we're going to be going to the book of James. We're going to be looking at chapter 1 for our dessert segment today. We're going to be looking at James chapter 1, starting in verse 16 through the end of the chapter. It says, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. By His own choice He gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. My dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer who works, this person will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks he is religious without controlling his tongue, his religion is useless, and he deceives himself. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world."
A lot of good stuff in that.
Yeah, a lot to unpack here. Everything good comes from God. We get that. Mm-hmm. This is what it says. And I love how it says, following that, every good and perfect gift from God coming down from the Father of lights. He is the Father of light, not of darkness. Obviously, we should know that. Who does not change, mm-hmm. like the shifting shadows, right? Like our world. Like fashion. This mm-hmm. is in 1 week. This is out the other.
There's no variation.
There's no variation.
And praise God for that.
I think the ESV actually uses the word variation, doesn't it?
Yeah, it says, Father of lights with whom there is no variation.
Right, right. So no variation, no change. Right. God does not change. By His own choice, He gave us birth by the word of truth. Man. So this brings up the point. This actually came up in the Bible study that I attended last night, and I like what he said when thinking about we look at prophecies in the Old Testament, and we see God outlining the future, right, of these things to come. right? Even some of these things played a role in surrounding history to some degree. Most of it is about, obviously, the coming Messiah, but we also forget that it's crazy because during the time of Daniel, when Daniel gets these prophecies, these visions that Daniel's getting are going to happen 400 years in the future. So this is crazy. But this is what he said was cool at the Bible study. This is a good way to look at it. When thinking about God and his sovereignty and his power and his all-knowingness, does God look into the future and see those things and know those things come to pass? Or does God speak those things and they come to pass?
Mm-hmm.
This is what reminds me of here, because by his own choice, he gave us birth by the word of truth. We exist because God spoke us into being. The prophecies that were given by God to the prophets came to be because God spoke them into being. God doesn't have to look into the future to see these happen because he makes it.
Yeah.
He is the creator of all.
Yeah.
So that just reminded me of that. When it says by the birth, birth by the word of truth.
Yeah. And I, you know, just thinking about God never changes, how our lives are always changing from day to day. And sometimes where we think we'll be 4 or 5 years from now is not where we will be at all. How incredibly awesome is that truth that God never changes? Why wouldn't we want to be under the authority of a God that never changes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, now in the world in which we live, I'm sure a lot of people wish he would change on a lot of the things that he has laid out as truth, but he's the authority.
Right.
God is the authority. God knows he is all wise.
How much peace do you have when you know that the God who made those promises is an unchanging God? He said it would be this way. He promised these things through his son. If we are in Christ, those promises are a sure thing. He's not going to change his mind. If he was a changing God, there would be so much uncertainty in our faith.
Yeah. And so many people say, well, God's not loving. It's that he has given us everything to follow in his perfect plan to have a right standing with him, obviously, through Christ alone. But in abiding in his commands and abiding in his truth leads to a blessed life.
Yeah, it really does. A true blessed life.
But not a prosperity blessing, but
not a blessed life,
but a
peace with God.
Yeah, and but people want to run from that, mm-hmm. and then they point the finger.
Right, well, most people that argue against loving, one, they don't know the historical context of the Bible anyway. They haven't seen all of Israel's rebellions for years, years and years, and God's continual faithfulness to be gracious at any part. Any bit of God's grace
mm-hmm.
is grace because he's the maker and creator of all things. He can end our lives if he wants. He can create life. He can take. He's the giver and taker of life. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
He's God. And loving, when we try to man define loving and try to apply that same thing to God, we miss the point anyway.
Yeah.
So it's not.
And so if anyone is to bring any contradiction against the Bible, the next part of this passage says, be slow to speak,
mm-hmm.
be quick to hear,
mm-hmm.
listen,
mm-hmm. which nobody does anymore.
Yeah. When we open the Word of God, how often are we looking to actually sit and listen and let it transform our lives, let God transform our lives through it. But not only do we listen, we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that because it says, so he says that, you know, to listen, but then he's like, but be doers.
Right.
Because someone might say, okay, well, you know, we'll listen.
Well, that's what we see for the most part in Christian culture, right? We see people sitting comfortably in hundreds of thousands of pews across this nation, hearing truth, and when they leave, it's like that was a blanket that was covering them, and when they left, that blanket's left there.
Mm-hmm.
There is no change. There is just, oh, I can agree to that, you know. But actually doing the word is, again, a mark of a true believer.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just going to hear and just, that's it. Because that's what conviction does. It stirs in your soul to change.
It says, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Mm-hmm. So what we know is by the Spirit speaking to us as we open the word and we read the truth of God, by the Spirit indwelling in us with the implanted word that we have, be quick to be doers of it, be slow to lash out and speak against it, because this is the authority.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is truth.
Yeah, like we've talked about, you're going to be prone when it's something you don't, that goes against your flesh. That's our response. And that's all we see in every single conversation. There's no civil conversation anymore, because no one can be civil about anything. We live in a complete opposite of what this is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy how God's word is so good that if we spend time studying it, we spend time wanting to know God. God is faithful to give us understanding in that if we seek him. It's just crazy to me how we're so sinful. We don't. God is so good to us. We are so unworthy of his grace.
We're unworthy to even have this, to be able to read it.
Right. And we're sitting here with advances of technology. We're sitting here with water to drink, under nice light, air conditioned. We have all of this. We don't deserve any of that.
No.
And God is so good to give us that freedom to have that. And we take these things for granted all the time. I wanted to say following that in 25, but the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom. See, there's freedom in God's law. It's so crazy how we look at that as a constraint system, but we forget those things are there because God knows those things are better.
It's for our good.
Yeah.
It's for our good.
And it says, and the one who preserves in it, not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who works, this person will be blessed in what he does.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't need much explaining of that. It's pretty clear. If anyone thinks he's religious without controlling his tongue, his religion is useless, and he deceives himself. How many times this is what happens. We want to interpret it the way we want to interpret it, and then we go about uncontrollably because we have – anybody can use a camera phone. Anybody can post a YouTube video. Anybody can do anything. Yeah. Nobody's brawling their tongue anymore. They're making their own truth.
Yeah, okay? and that's why – on many of the episodes we've done, we say beware, beware of things that are being said in Christian culture, things that are being taught in Christian culture, that we don't just buy into everything that's labeled Christian, like we've said, because this is happening. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to be looking at Christ's word, God's word, and, comparing it to what is being said, and if it doesn't line up with the truth of the word, then we reject it.
Right. Before this in James, before this actual passage, it's asking in relation to wisdom, asking you shall receive, right? The whole idea, too, when it says every good and perfect gift is relating to wisdom. The perfect gift that God gives us is the understanding and knowing of who he is. That's good. God is so good that he would even allow us to have 1 ounce of knowledge of who he is. I mean, and we just are so entitled that we think that we're just owed everything.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't think about that, that there is so much more to know about God that we will never scratch the surface of in our lives.
Yeah.
God, what he has wanted us to know, has given it to us by his word. And it's there. There may be parts that we don't understand, but for the most part, someone doesn't have to spend hours going through something like the Ten Commandments to know that murder is wrong,
yeah.
stealing is wrong, to not honor God as the only one and true God is to not do that is wrong. It's there.
Yeah.
To follow the history of Israel and to see their defilement of God's law and to see his reaction to that is pretty clear. Just like last night, he said, there is a capacity. There is a capacity of God's grace. We see that played out.
Yeah.
Israel sins so much to the point that God unleashes his wrath. But God is so loving that he gave us Christ. And God's capacity is God's wrath is being held. He's reached that capacity. But it is being held by the graciousness of himself through his son, Christ. If we don't want to see that wrathful side of God, if we really want to experience the true loving nature of who God is, that's displayed through knowing his son.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so with all of this, to understand any form of truth, to be able to know absolute truth, it begins and ends with knowing God. And to know God, to be able to come to the Father, is only to come through the Father, through the Son, Jesus yeah. Christ.
Yep. Well, we thank you guys for tuning in to this episode. I want to encourage you guys to stay unstained from the world and to keep pressing into truth, the truth of God's word, the only truth, and do not be deceived by worldly philosophies and things being taught in the public square.
If it goes against God's word, then it's wrong.
Yeah.
It's wrong.
If you want to get one of these cool mugs, We the Exiles mug, you can do that by becoming a Patreon supporter. We talked about it earlier in the show, patreon.com/we the exiles. Become an exile, support the show. We look forward to what God's going to do through it.
Don't forget the giveaway either. We're running until Wednesday the 25th.
Yeah.
25th of September. Go to our social media sites, Facebook and Instagram. Shows you how to enter that giveaway. We're giving away a Charles Spurgeon study Bible, really nice leather journal, coffee and mug from Messenger Coffee Cup.
All right. Well, until next time, set your eyes on Christ and fight the good fight. This is With the Exiles.